Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn that way down, Ty. How many people were prepared for the snow? I mean, really prepared. I thought I was. I had a four-wheel drive, but we still missed a number of events that we were supposed to do visiting over Christmas. Amazing how a little bit of precipitation just shatters everybody's plans. Let's just bow in prayer. Ty, that's still too high. Thanks. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee that he is with us this morning, and that our message and that all that we speak of and all that we think of as we are in this place is about him. And all that we do here should be to bring thee glory. We thank thee for the person of the Lord Jesus, that he has redeemed us and brought us to himself, bought us with a price. We are not our own, Lord. And our Father, most of all, we thank thee that you are the one doing the planning. You are the one doing the preparation. We're helpless as we struggle our way through this life and as we look to thee to guide us and lead us in every event. And as pilgrim on the path that we need to have your shepherding. And so, our Father, we just pray that thou watch over us, and as we read thy word this morning, it might have meaning to us, and that we might take it to heart, and that we might seek to be just like you and plan and prepare and to do what we need to for the days ahead and for eternity that is ahead. And so, our Father, we thank thee for bringing us all together this morning in safety and pray that as we do leave here, you will take us to our homes in safety once again. Bless this new year as we approach it, Lord. We pray that it might be something, a banner year in each of our lives. We might look back to and say that was a year when we can really praise the Lord for that time that he gave us. Be with us now, we ask, in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. So here we are at the very, very end of 2008. And as I was asked to speak this morning, and I was given my own head, as it were, and what we would speak to, I looked to the Holy Spirit. And you know where we went? We went right back into Luke again. Because there's a passage in Luke that has been haunting me for a long time. And we're going to read that. But let's read, first of all, Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. I think you're going to get the gist of my message pretty quick. Let your loins be girded, be dressed, ready to go, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And when he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Yes, the gist of the message is being ready. And here's the scripture that I'm thinking about. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. The words of the Lord Jesus again. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it all, that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or, what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, its power, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We're looking at a new year ahead of us. It's a time when in business, in our finances, in so many parts of our life. It's the conclusion of one segment and the beginning of another. It's a wonderful time for the child of God to take stock, just as a lot of companies this time of year are doing inventory and taking stock of what's in their storerooms, of what they have left in their warehouses, of what has been pilfered, of what has been stolen, of what is still there. What value is there in their stock and in their shares? And this particular year is a strange year for a lot of people to be doing just that, to be looking what the value is in their companies, in their investments, in all that they've prepared for their future. I'm afraid there's many, many out there that at the beginning of 2007 were ready to go. Many of them believed, just like the man that we read of in the New Testament, that the Lord Jesus met, that he spoke about, that he said, you know, I've got everything well laid out, you know. Everything's good in my life, and this am I going to do. I'm going to just tear down these barns and build greater so everybody can see what I've done in my life. Soul, you've got lots of time left. Let's just set to making everything perfect for myself. And God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now that was a speedier end than what I'm even thinking of out there in the world of finance. But this year, a lot of people who had all of their investments laid and their schemes all built for their coming years in this world and in this life have had them shattered, burst like a balloon. And all that they thought they had and all that they had expected to gain, grasping and reaching after, has been lost. And they find themselves looking at just a vacuum and an emptiness. I hope that's not yourself this morning. But you know, it's such a marvelous thing that when we take our eyes off of that which is physical and that which is monetary and that which is made of wood, hay, and stubble, and we set our eyes upon the things of God, those things that are spiritual, and we set to take stock in those, and we set to build a bulwark about ourselves of spiritual reality, of working diligently through what the apostles call the fruits of the Spirit, of looking to the needs of others rather than just of ourselves, of looking to preparation for eternity rather than just for what's in this life. Those are the things that last. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. It's going to pass away. That creation out there, which sometimes looks so beautiful, has been so damaged by sin that it will pass away with fire. For us to build all of our energy into what is just for this life and for this time is as a child of God or as one that is not a child of God is so futile. Because it is all set to be burned. Pretty hard when we work hard every day by the sweat of our brow. We work a life long, and I'm looking back now at just about 35 years with one company and an awful lot of time put in and hard labor and literally blood, sweat, and tears. I can say that today. And I look at it and it's, what does it mean? Well, we've got a good company out there and a good name, and yes, we've lent our shoulder to that, but it is not going to last. It will be burned up. As we look at this coming year, are we prepared spiritually? Now, very often what has happened to me and my position over the last, well, now 20 years, is at the beginning of the new year, they call all of us together. And since TELUS is a large company now, it can be anywhere in Canada, and we're all called together, all the entire marketing sales team, and we're all sat down, and we're all put through a number of sessions where it's drummed into us, and we're all looked to have our plan and our program set for the year. And it's a wonderful thing for business. But I wonder how many of us, as a having investment in an eternal and a spiritual economy. Sit down at the beginning of the year and plan for the year to come. I don't always. I don't. And it's wrong. If the diligence that we set to our work schedule or our education schedule or our own monetary investments is that important to us, how much more important is it for us to build towards our spiritual future, which is eternal? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. And in doing so, I need to turn this spotlight within my own life, my heart and soul. And am I planning to spend enough time in the work of the Lord this year? Is that part of the investment? Is that part of what I'm planning for this year? Is it part of what you're thinking about? Is it entered your mind here at this end of the year? Or are you, like so many of us, and as I've so often in the past, been thinking more about the material side of my being and existence here? Brothers and sisters, this is an eternal salvation we have. We are marching forward as soldiers through this life to meet with the bridegroom, with the one who we really love, with the one who we look forward to. Which brings us to another part of my message this morning, and that is, what has he prepared? Is he working? Well, let's take a look at some things that and some verses of Scripture that come here. First of all, if we look at John 14 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus is preparing. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You see, he knew that coming before him was a work within that year that he must accomplish that would the disciples' hearts would fail them to see who they thought was their king, who they thought was to be the Messiah, the immediate possessor of the throne of Israel, die on a Roman cross. So preparing them, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Everything that God has done down through eternity has required a preparation. When he hung the stars and the sun and moon in space, when he put this earth together, when the Spirit of God brooded upon the waters, all of that was a preparation for this place that you and I could inhabit in this flesh. All prepared for an eternal, because brought into this world in the image of God as an immortal soul, preparation, every step of the way, all of it planned, everything about the creation of man and woman planned for, even for the fall, even for the sin and the separation from God, prepared for. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't it a wonderful thing for us to know that the God of heaven has thought through a plan, a program, and is working out a preparation for us? Because I'm afraid when I look at my own life, if it was left to me and the floundering I do, look what happens. We get a little bit of precipitation in the form of snow, and our world falls apart. How many of you had events you missed in this last couple of weeks? How many of you were caught digging your vehicle out of the snow? How many of you missed work? All the things that we had difficulty with because we had a little bit of snow fall on the ground. Never mind if a volcano was to erupt out of Burnaby Mountain or a big earthquake to hit us. Then suddenly we find that all the best laid plans we have of this material world come crashing down around our ears. The Lord Jesus and the God of heaven are preparing a place for us, have prepared a salvation, have made a plan and a program. What a wonderful thing for the child of God to take a grasp of that. I have a plan and a program built for me. Now, it's described in this set of blueprints I have in front of me, the Word of God. And that's where we need to go to find out what our program is. That's where we need to go to find out what God's plan holds for me. He said to them, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What a marvelous plan. We can come to the Father through the Lord Jesus. Because when the time was come, we read in Scripture, at the appointed time, God sent forth his Son to be born of a virgin. We've just been through the Christmas season. That ties nicely together, doesn't it? At the time appointed, the Lord Jesus was sent in this world. The Lord God of heaven knew exactly the moment and the second and the fraction when he would come into this world. Knew exactly when he would die. Knew the power wherewith he would be raised again. Knew we would be sitting here at this time together, at this hour, on this day. And seeks to, at this time, give to us, not from me, but from God's word, precious truths and helps for us to prepare for our future and as we go. So the Lord Jesus has prepared. The God of heaven has planned. And there's a program. Now that's something that you can hang on to. That's something you can throw both arms around as a child of the King and depend on. You have a foundation. And so annually we kind of look at our life and we kind of weigh up our successes for this past year and our failures, and we look to do better this year. Well, left to our own devices, we'll just flop around like one of those two-wheel drive cars out there in the snow. What we need is we need the power from God in our lives. And in this coming year, what I would ask of you this morning, and my message is, to prepare with the work of the Lord before you. To ask the Lord what his job is for you this year. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put your program, put your wheels in gear, get yourself going to the program that counts and that matters, and I'll look after the rest. And he will. And I have watched in my life in amazement where sometimes I've stumbled into doing the work of the Lord, which is sometimes a marvelous thing. We didn't really plan to do. He knew. He planned. And we get involved in the Lord's program. And we get involved in what the Lord wants us to do. And we find ourselves speaking to those around us. Or we find our hearts moved in compassion for the lost. I mean truly and really. And so we speak out. And so we fit into God's program. And we fulfill his ask. And I'm telling you, I've watched it in my life. I've watched in others. The Lord will back the truck up of those other things that we think we need to work so hard for. Yes, the Lord expects us to work wisely and diligently in looking after our daily needs. And I would challenge anyone, because the apostles tell us over and over again, to be careful. It's a good word. To be careful about our testimony and our daily routine, looking after our families and looking after the expectations that an employer gives to us. They're all spelled out for us. Go and take a look for them. They're here. All that we have to do as an employer, as a manager, what is my responsibility and how I deal with it? It's all spelled out. What about husbands and wives and families and children and our relationships to? It's all spelled out. We've got a program. It's all here. It's all given to us. And those are the things, because those are things that God finds important. Therefore, they're the things that we need to find important. And they're what we need to work at and what we need to consider as we head into a new year. Preparation comes annually. It comes weekly. It comes in so many ways. It comes daily. So what do I do, Bruce? What do you do to prepare? Well, I hang my head in shame because I don't prepare always as I should every morning for the day ahead. My eyes aren't always cast heavenward as I set about my tasks and my duties for the day. If we are to succeed spiritually, and remember that verse I just gave you, then all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So my day should start looking unto the author and finisher of my faith, which is the Lord Jesus, and looking unto his instruction and unto what he gives me out of his word. I just explained, these are the blueprints. We want to succeed, we need to go to where God tells us how to succeed. We want to implore him and ask him for his assistance. We need to go to our knees to ask for that. And it may not be in our knees. It may be as we're walking down the street and are fully engaged with the Lord, with his person, with what I've got to do ahead of me. As I approach an exam this year, am I going to approach it all by myself? When I approach a customer and I go in to see them and to talk about something that I believe in and I know is good for them and is the right thing to put in front of them, is it something that I'm asking the Lord to help convince them? Or am I just depending on myself? Oh, I've seen some miracles happen there because that's my job. And to know I've got the right thing to put for the right person and to ask the Lord before I go in, and then to be able to thank the Lord when it comes together. That's an amazing thing too. And then to be diligent to fulfill my word to my parents, my customers, my instructors, whoever it is. That on the other side, if the Lord has given me the answer and given me the right and given me the way, that for example, if I am to give a customer and to tell him he's going to get X, Y, Z, for so many dollars that I make sure that that's exactly what he gets, or better. Because that's what my Heavenly Father would do. Let's just follow the example of the Lord Jesus. How would he do it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Plan according to God's purposes, not your own. It's success. You know, again, I go to these rallies we have and to these conventions, and they bring in special speakers. They pay lots and lots of money, and I suspect that many of them have been evangelical preachers in their past. And very often, the very message we'll get from them, it sounds like it's coming from one of these pulpits. Love your customers. Care for those around you. Do what you say you're going to do. They're all, let's face it, those are just the rules that God has laid out. Those are just laws, like the law of gravity. They're followed. The Lord blesses. That's it. Lies, subterfuge, those things done in the darkness all come around to get us. We will always lose if our planning's done in the dark. I think of the children of Israel. The Lord gave them instruction concerning a most marvelous thing. And we call it a miracle today. And that was the manna that came down from heaven in the wilderness. Here were these thousands and thousands of people, men, women, children, with no sign of sustenance, leaving Pharaoh. Moses, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. A number of them said that to him. The Lord had a plan. And Moses was following the Lord's program. So were the children of Israel, whose hearts were clean before God. And as they followed him out into the wilderness and to certain death, the Lord brought certain life. And he brought them manna, described in one place as angel's food. And, you know, it was sweet. It was a lovely thing to eat. It was like the scripture describes it as having the taste of honey. And they had very careful instructions about this. Look, when the Sabbath comes, there will be no manna. So get enough manna the day before for the Sabbath, because I don't want you working on the Sabbath. That was the Lord's program. Well, guess what? there were those that weren't listening. And they went out on the Sabbath and they went hungry because they didn't listen to the program. Then there were a number of them that said, well, I'd like to go out there and maybe just work one day, gather what we need for the week or for a couple of days, and then we don't have to go out again tomorrow. So they went out and they gathered a whole pile and they brought it in, and the next morning the leftovers had been worms and stank. It became an awful thing. They weren't listening to the program. The Word of God is very clear as to what our steps are to be and our relationships with one another. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Very important. So daily we need to look to the Lord. And then we have a wonderful thing given to us in this life, in this culture that we live in this place, that on the first day of the week we're able to gather together to remember the Lord and break bread. And are we prepared for that? Is that a plan? Is it a program in our week? When the Lord looks to us for monetary support, is that something that we're prepared to support and to throw our back into? What do you need, Lord? Where do you need it? And that's a good question. Where do you need it? Are we prepared? The Lord Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you. His program and his plan, we are so blessed that he hasn't left his return up to me and to my works. That he hasn't left his program of his return and his gathering of his people to himself, to their devices. We have an incredible promise here. He's returning. He's coming back. We've got 2008 in front of us. We've got the beginning of the year. We've got all the working time in the year. We've got the end of the year. Accountability. What will we see when we look back at the beginning of 2009? If the Lord gives us that year, if he allows that to each one of us, what's there? What do we have that's tangible? What have I prepared for the Lord? Will I look back? And you know, I'll tell you this. If I look back at a year where I have given to the Lord and my baskets have been full for him to the point of where I feel almost like I've neglected what I thought I would need to do financially, you know what's going to happen? Back to our verse of Scripture, what is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Try it out this year. Do it. Test the Lord. Try the Lord. Give him his due. And all those things will be added unto you. Not my guarantee, fortunately. Not my words giving it. It's the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. There's a wonderful thing that's given us, a wonderful truth in Romans chapter 8. You want to talk about planning. You want to talk about careful, plotted control. I'm going to keep you a short time. Romans 8, verse 28. Here's our promise. Here's what he's done. Here's what God has done. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. His promise to Thomas and his disciples in John 14 was, I go to do a work. I go to prepare a place for you. That was before he'd gone to Calvary. And now we're reading in Romans, after he has marvelously risen again, that the purpose of the entire work that he did was that Christ died, rose again, is at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. What a marvelous thing to know that we are part of God's program. Doesn't it bring a little bit of concern to our hearts? Well, if I'm part of God's program, then how much am I doing for me this year, and how much am I doing for him? I've got to ask me that. Bruce has to ask the question of himself. That's why I always love having to speak here, because it gives me a moment to shake in my own tree and see what falls out. Am I prepared? Because I'm predestinated. I've been given a promise and a guarantee that's beyond anything that I can ever get out there. Beyond anything that anyone can give. I don't care how much money was put in your hand. No one can guarantee you're going to live till tomorrow. It's all give and take. It's all things of time and sense. But the Word of God lives and abides forever. Am I set on that foundation? Is that my building? Is that the bricks I'm going to put into my life this year? Are they tagged as spiritual realities? Does the Word of God figure into it anywhere? Does time spent with him come into it at all? If I'm going to have a good marriage, if my wife and I are going to enjoy one another's company, I have to invest in that relationship. I have to plug into that. I have to put time to that. That's something that's got to be up there in my life as important. No different as that which is the Word of God and that which are those things which are of the Spirit. If we want a healthy and a good relationship with the Lord and we want to see him, he's just waiting. The Lord's got this great big bowl of wonderful things for us, and he just loved to pour them out into our lap. But he's looking for us to acknowledge him, acknowledge his ways, and all these things will be added unto us. Let's look for that this year. Not because Bruce said so, but because the Word of God has asked us to do that. And a person requests you. Someone has asked you to seek first the kingdom of God. Someone who loves you and who gave everything he had. I owe. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your truths, and we thank you for a map, for guidance, for blueprints, for instruction. They haven't always been available down through the centuries. They haven't always been available since Adam was here. Not as easily and simply obtained as we have them today. And so we thank thee for the Word of God. We thank thee for the conduit of prayer, the ability to speak with thee and to let you know how we're feeling and how we are and what we need. And then, Father, for it all to come together so that we can thank you and praise you for your answers, your responses, and the marvelous things you have prepared for us and the glory that is ours today and will be forever. Lord, let us be a time of thanksgiving for what we have and what we've been given this past year, and a careful time of preparation for the road ahead. We just pray this upon each one of us, Lord, that our lives might be productive and that which brings us the joy, the fruits of the Spirit that we read of in the New Testament, those gifts which are so precious to us. May we be able to, at the end of this year even again, be able to count blessings, count rewards for your purposes carried out. Bless and be with us, we ask now this week, and part us in safety. In Jesus' name, amen.